This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. As today I want to study with you, beginning a new study, based on 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, where the Bible teaches us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice carefully this awe-inspiring statement. It is God's sincere desire that no one should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. It is not God's will that you or I should perish. And yet we realize, because of our freedom of will, because of our ability to weigh the evidence or even to reject the evidence altogether, to decide against God, to decide to live our lives as we want to live it, or as other human beings who are wicked persuade us to live it, and not to live it in the way God has said for us to live it. I recall one time in a class in a certain university, a professor said, "I can defeat God." I asked him what he meant by it. He said, "Well, although I do not believe in God, granted your argument that there is a God, the Bible teaches that God wants every man to live a godly life. But," he says, "I can defeat that because I can live an ungodly life." In reply to him, I said, "There is a sense, perhaps, in which it might be said of you that you can defeat God, but that's only in a temporary way. Ultimately, you cannot defeat God. You must understand the various phases of the will of God. There is, let me suggest first of all, the ideal will of God, or what God would intentionally have, what His basic intention for man is. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, these words, "My little children, these things write unto you that you may not sin." You see, God does not wish for any of us to sin ever, even one time. According to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we find that God created man and woman and put them in the garden with this instruction: "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You see, God is giving instructions. He wants man to obey. He is not willing, in the sense of what he wishes, for man to disobey him even one time. It is indeed most difficult, indeed impossible, for us to understand the enormity of even one sin. We can even begin to understand it only by realizing the price that it took for us to have a way out of it, that is, the death of the Son of God, and of the punishment which the God who loves us so much that He gave His Son must heap upon us if we live and die in sin apart from the grace of God, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, to be cast away from God into hell forever and ever. This ought to help us to see the enormity of sin. The ideal will of God is that no one would ever sin. God wills that all live above sin, that each would always obey Him. But the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so there comes then the will of God in the circumstance of our sin, in the sense that I have violated the will of God and therefore become guilty of sin. It can be said of me in one sense that I have defeated God because I have defeated His ideal will for me. But there is also the will of God in the circumstance of my sin. Since I have sinned, He has not simply cast me off, but He has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die. You today who may be living your life in great despair, let me urge you to realize that your life can be great here on this earth now, beginning today. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30, that it doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice you've made on this earth to follow Him, you shall receive 100-fold more now in this life, and in the world to come, eternal life. But friends, our time's gone for today. I'm so glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow as we continue our study of the fact that you cannot ultimately defeat God. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, is our prayer.